The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com. Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. My name is Jared Book. Joining me today is Patrick Bexell. Patrick, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's past midnight, so I actually set the alarm to be up for this.
A true gamer.
But it's like
a true gamer.
It's like a NHL game, you know? We have to do that over here.
Yeah, no, exactly. This is right about the time. It's just after 7 o'clock, so that's when most Canadians games will be starting this season. So it's a time that you're used to waking up for anyway, on that side of the Atlantic.
Exactly.
Speaking of the Canadians, and obviously that's where we're going to start. There's not really much else to start with. The season's going on.
Oh, wait. We have Yellen and three goals. Oh, two goals assists. Three assists from Romanov. And Norlander, just crazy, you know?
There's a lot of stuff on Europe. And Patrick's European prospect report comes out every Monday morning. And you can read all about the prospects there. Lots of other stuff coming throughout the week as well, every now and then. And a dispatch as well from Frederick Dichow, the newest goaltender in the Canadiens organization. And Patrick got a chance to speak to him and his coach. He's in his first season in Sweden as well. So check that out. If you're listening to this, then it's right below this. And if you're reading it on Eyes on the Prize, again, it's right there as well. The Canadiens started their regular season this week with two games. And quite honestly, I believe against two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I really do believe that the Carolina Hurricanes and the Toronto Maple Leafs will be playoff teams. They will probably be top three in each of their divisions. And the Canadiens came away with 3 out of 4 points. And it wasn't always pretty in those wins. They were trailing by at least 2 goals in each game. But you know what? After missing the playoffs by 3 points last year, or 2 points, they needed 3 because of the tiebreaker. If you get 3 out of 4 points, that's all that matters. There's no beauty points in the standings. As long as you get points, it doesn't matter how it looks like, right?
Exactly. And I think, you know, you mentioned these two teams and they're definitely trending upwards, both of them. As much as it pains me to say that Toronto is trending upwards, but yeah, it's Toronto Maple Leafs and a bunch of jerks, you know. But yeah, they came around. They did well. It's early season. We shouldn't draw Absolutely. Too many conclusions out of it. But it's good to see the team fighting and the fighting spirit and never giving up. And I think that's very, very positive when you look at it down the line as well. Because even if you're going up against the odds a little bit, you know, this team will not cave.
Really, this is something that the Canadians have not been good at over the last few years, and that's coming back in games. Usually, a lot of times, they would trail by a goal and just be out of the game. If they were trailing by 2 goals or 3 goals, lights out. You know, just turn the game off and, you know, in your case, go to bed. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, there's no point in watching the rest of it.
It has happened.
and you know, it's really been an issue. You know, the big story is that, you know, the team couldn't score. You know, they couldn't break out. Lots of things. I want to talk about a number, a specific number. And I mentioned off the top that they came back trailing by 2 goals in each game against Toronto. They were trailing by 3 goals because it was 4-1. Just had to, you know, say that again. But
Of course.
In 2017-2018, obviously not a great season for the Canadians that year. But when they were trailing by 2 goals, they only came back to win once. When they were trailing by 3 or more goals, they didn't come back to win a game. Last year, the Canadians came back 4 times when trailing by 2 goals in the game. When trailing by 3 goals in the game, they never came back. They didn't even force overtime. So you're looking at 8 points last year earned for the entire season when trailing by 2 goals or more. This year, through 2 games, they have 3 points. And they came back from 3 goals down, which to win a game, which they didn't do over the last 2 seasons. Probably even more than that. I haven't looked back that long. And that is huge. If you can stay in games.
It must have been the Ottawa game last time, right? The famous Ottawa game where PK killed it in overtime. That's like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's a while ago. Brian Gionta was still on the team. Yeah, that was a while ago there. Exactly.
Was there and scoring as well.
When you can remember the games, by the events that happen, you know that it's a rare occurrence. And already this year we've seen it twice. So it's encouraging because the questions that this team had going into the season was, are the players who put up career years last year, are they going to come back and be able to do it again? And the answer so far is yes. There's nothing to show that, they're not going to keep going because, most players on this Canadiens team are playing well. It's not perfect. Like I said, whenever you trail by 2 goals in the game, not everything is going your way. But so far, so good. It's only 2 games, obviously. But if they can get the defensive zone figured out, it'll be just fine.
And I think it sends the message as well to other teams when you look at it. And it's defensive zone coverage. It's not Carey Price that has a bad day because he had an extremely good day against Toronto. Yeah. But it's more the fact that it's defensive zone reads, it's defensive zone coverage, is the adaption for a new player into a new style of defense, as in Sherrod's case. It's just different. And you need that adjustment period, and you can say what you want about warm-up games and preseason games, but it's not real until you stand there on an NHL ice and actually place another team. For me, it's great also to see that they can actually keep the pace in goals against the team that is Toronto, that is supposed to be outscoring the opponent at all times because of the lineup they have and the problems they might have on the defensive side of the puck. But so seeing that Montreal is still in those games and actually winning it in overtime, it's great.
You can watch video, you can practice defensive zone coverages and try and figure it out. But until you're staring at Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews and John Tavares, it gets a little bit different once you're doing it for real. And a lot of times, it's that split second read that you can only experience in a real game situation. And even in preseason, these 5-man units are not really all playing together, right? Because you have half the lineup in one game, half the lineup in the other game. You're trying to develop chemistry all at once.
Yeah, and also partly as you say that in regards to the lineups, but also when you practice it in your own at your own practice, it's going to be different because you have even 2 seconds to do it. You can actually stop the play and say, no, you're doing this wrong. And then when you line up and the speed is, a couple of percentages higher, you don't see the player's name, but he's on the other side, it's going to be different. It's going to be changed people. And I see it like a child sickness. Do you say that in English as well? A child illness? That is something you grow out of. You don't have these illnesses when you grow older, and the longer the season gets, hopefully these illnesses will be gone.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's growing pains, and eventually they do, or hopefully they do get out of the way. But if you can collect points while that's going on, and the Canadians are taking advantage of other teams' defensive zone breakdowns, You know, the Carolina Hurricanes aren't going to give up 2-goal leads very often in games.
No, we saw that when they played against Tampa Bay, which is also another statement in a way that Montreal managed to hang with Carolina, and they were really forcing the game to Tampa, that were lucky enough to keep it as an even score in the end as well. And we know Toronto's going to be up there. For me, a big test is actually going to be against Buffalo, that is also a team trending upwards this week, and I'm looking forward to it, partly because there are a lot of Swedes that I've worked with through the time here. But I think that will be another test. They shouldn't be over Montreal just yet, but they are trending upwards as well, just as Montreal does. But I think they've managed to take bigger steps because they were so far away from the playoffs last year, and Montreal was just out. So it could be a little bit of a surprise with Buffalo.
You know, the schedule maker is not doing any favors for the Canadians early on. We talked about the Hurricanes, talked about the Maple Leafs, the Sabres. You know, they have the home opener against the Red Wings, and Detroit is playing well, but they're not going to be a playoff team. Then you have St. Louis, who just happened to win the Stanley Cup last year. Then you have Tampa Bay, St. Louis, and you have Tampa Bay. Then you have Minnesota. Then you go to St. Louis and play the Blues in St. Louis. Then you go to Minnesota to play the Wild. Then you have the Sharks, who, again, not having a great start to the season, but, you know, whenever you have Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns, you're a good team. And then you have the Maple Leafs again. And then you have the Coyotes, who should be better than they were last year. And then you have the Golden Knights, who are probably my pick to be the top team in the Western Conference this year as well. You know, that's a pretty tough October.
The only games that stand out really is the Detroit games and Minnesota, because I'd rather play Minnesota now before everything has gelled and before everything has worked out properly and they got an identity. You play them early and it might benefit in the long run because you only have those two games against Minnesota.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, if the Canadians can stay above water or anywhere close, that's going to be huge. And we've mentioned that they've already done well against Carolina Maple Leafs. I think Carolina is going to win their division. I think they really are the best team. You know, obviously Washington is very good as well. But for me, those two teams are going to be battling all year long for top spot. And Carolina is really good. We saw it against Canadians.
And then when you look at Metropolitan, it's just in, but Malkin is out. So I don't know if that's a curse or not for Montreal, because that is one of the spots that we might have thought were gone because of top three, but they might actually fight for a wild card spot instead. And then New York Rangers, you got to speak about New York Rangers at this point because they have started the season right out the gate.
Yeah, there's a lot of good teams, and you know, it's going to be because there's not much between the two teams or any teams in the Eastern Conference. It's very tight. It's going to be tight all year long. That's why banking points is so important throughout the year.
The playoff spots are tight. Then there are some teams that are obviously in it to lose it or to tank for a very deep draft class.
Yeah, if this is a year where if you're not very good, you want to be pretty bad. Or at least have good luck at the lottery.
Yeah, but I mean, like the top eight picks are looking really good at the moment.
And if you don't need a goalie, you can even go top nine because someone's going to take that goalie really early. So if you don't need a goalie, then you know even number nine would be fine for you because you're going to get one of the skaters that are going to drop in that case. Much like the Canadians and Spencer Knight, right? They didn't need a goalie. They were hoping that a team ahead of them would take a goalie. And he ended up with Cole Caulfield, but yes.
If you thought last year's draft was good, this one is insane.
The players are spread out. Last year was a lot of the U.S. development team where they had, you know, a ton of picks. This year it's a little spread out. You have, you know, Lucas Raymond, you have Lundell in Finland. You have so many players who are going for Alexis Lafreniere, obviously, in Quebec. You have Quinton Byfield in Ontario. Just everywhere you look, there's a top prospect. The scouts are getting a lot of mileage because you can't just sit in one place. You have to go all over the place. To go back to the Canadians a little bit and talking about young players, It wasn't a great start for Cale Fleury and Nick Suzuki. You know, obviously they're learning the NHL on the fly, and that's never easy. But at the same time, there's a lot of prospects in the Montreal organization that can go up and down. Obviously, we know that there's a lot of prospects in Europe, but obviously you can't just call them up and send them down. But even Laval has a lot of guys who are going to be battling for spots. And you look at guys like even Carl Alsner, Dale Weiss, obviously Ryan Poehling, Josh Brook, Otto Leskinen, and guys like that who they're fighting for their careers in some ways. As you get, you know, to be a little bit older, you have obviously Alex Belzil, Jake Evans in Laval as well, Lucas Vedamo. When you look at the Laval Rocket, kind of the opposite of the Canadiens, where they just couldn't get anything going and struggled a little bit against the Cleveland Monsters. And the AHL is so deep, and the league has improved a lot over the years. You know, it used to be a league where it was mostly guys who are out of the NHL and struggling to stay in professional hockey. Now you're seeing a lot more young prospects and good young prospects. You look at any team. I was looking at the rosters the other day to see, you know, who would be coming to Laval and, you know, throughout the season. And every team has top prospects. You look at Hartford, they have Vitali Kravtsov and so many guys. You know, Shestorkin as well came over to North America. He's there. You know, you look at Cleveland, who they just played. They have guys like, you know, Marco Dano, who was a first-round pick, obviously, you know, struggling to stay in the NHL, but obviously still a very talented player.
And a skilled player. Yeah. I think the step has gone to be as NHL has changed, because it has, and the fighters has gone and the enforcers has gone to a large degree. You have skilled players in AHL as well, because you need those skilled players to fight for roster spots on the main team. So I think that's the way the change has happened. So you're getting more skilled, you're loading up on skilled players, and suddenly you're probably going to see a breakout of one of those skilled players that you didn't think was a prospect that suddenly becomes an NHLer.
Yeah, and Alex Belzil is a pretty good example of that. Here's a guy who was on an AHL contract, and after 1 year of leading the Rocket in scoring, he gets an NHL contract, and very, very likely could be the first call-up. If, you know, Nick Cousins left practice on Monday, it would not surprise me to see Alex Belzil as the first call-up to Montreal. And like I said, this is a guy who was on an AHL contract 12 months ago.
Yeah, because I when it comes to this call-up, I actually think they will keep Poehling in AHL.
Yeah, absolutely.
Arguably because of contract reasons, but also because of his head injury, his concussion. I think they're playing very, very safe with that. So it would make sense to bring up anyone else. And don't worry, I got money saved. If Vedamo comes up, I'll buy his jersey direct.
Yeah, I don't think he's on the list of top callers. But yeah, I mean, you want Poehling to play hockey. And I don't think his health is an issue anymore. I think he's you know, if there was any issue with the concussion, he wouldn't be playing. It doesn't matter if you're playing in the NHL or the AHL. But I do think they want him to get game action. He only played in two preseason games in the NHL. And, you know, he's been okay in the AHL, but, you know, it's a tough league. It's a tough league. You look at, you know, you mentioned Olofsson on Buffalo. He was in Rochester for a long time trying to make the next step. Obviously, you look at guys like in Milwaukee, Nashville's affiliate. There's Ellie Tolvanen, who was a first-round pick. The AHL is so deep. Every team has guys like Ryan Poehling on their farm team. Every team has guys like Josh Brook. Every team has guys like Alex Belzil, Phil Verone, guys who have excelled in the AHL. The Laval Rocket are the best they've been in years, but that doesn't guarantee them anything because everyone is better.
When you look at Laval and every AHL team, they're now making a push for being maybe that top league outside NHL. I think they have a bit of a catch up to do to the top KHL team still. But it's more of an even league where it used to be more of, you know, these teams are good right now, depending on whose prospects were in the team. Right now, everyone is stacking up, as you say. Everyone wants every guy they can afford or put in there, because you want to maximize the lottery tickets to see who can become a winner.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, obviously you look at the waivers from the last week or two, and there are a lot of talented guys, and most of them, there's only two players who got claimed.
And wrong two players.
Yeah, not probably not the best two players on that list. But you look at that, where are all those players going? They're all going to the AHL now, right? They're all going to the AHL. So you have guys who were maybe on the fringe of being NHL players who are now in the AHL, and every team has them. And even going a step further, you have the players who are, you know, the way that the league is going much closer to, you know, young players and you know, veterans are, you know, having to sign PTOs and things like that. They're also having to sign AHL contracts. So there's a trickle-down effect of a lot of good players who end up being a little bit forgotten, and you might not know these players, but they're good players. And Joel Bouchard said it after the first game against the Cleveland Monsters, where he's like, listen, you look down their roster, you might not recognize a lot of the names, but they're talented hockey players. Ryan Poehling, after the game, said, listen, the AHL is a good league. I wasn't underestimating the league. There's a lot of players who are in the AHL who are really good, and there's a lot of players who aren't in the AHL who could be in the AHL. So, you know, you're starting to see a lot of the talent. And like you mentioned before, a lot more skill. You're not seeing guys who are fighting and putting up 300 penalty minutes in the AHL anymore. They're just not in hockey, or they're having to adjust their games. You know, you have guys who put up big hits and things like that, but they can also play hockey and skate.
Yeah. And I think also the fact that it seems to me that the organizations are putting much more effort into the AHL franchises. You know, you put them in Laval, or you put them next to Toronto, or you put them in Tucson instead of Arizona or Glendale in Arizona. But you put them relatively close, so players can interact with NHL coaches much faster. I know Lucas Vedemo said that, like, you know, we share coaches, the Canadian coaches, the skill coaches come over and then speak with us in Laval, et cetera, et cetera. So you have that, it makes it more, you're not you're not on the plane somewhere in the middle of nowhere when you come over for a professional contract. You're in the city more often than not, very close to the city you're dreaming of playing for. You have this in the coaches there. You get to experience everything. You can go to the games because you're part of the franchise. You can watch NHL for real. And all this brings in the need that you feel wanted, and you want to succeed, and you might give it a little bit of that extra percent that you maybe didn't do when you were traveling on a bus in the middle of nowhere for 5 days straight. And then came to a little town where you were superheroes, but it was very far from NHL hockey. And suddenly you're in the town where there is NHL hockey, so you feel like you're very much closer to it.
You mentioned the teams being closer. The Montreal Canadiens have a vested interest in making the Laval Rocket interesting, right? they basically own the team. If they want people to show up. And obviously, the emphasis is on your prospects, guys like Poehling and Brooke and Primo and Evans and guys like that. But there's a vested interest to make them as competitive as possible. And you know, that's obvious. And that's not just Montreal. You mentioned all the other cities that they're getting teams closer to their city. The way you get interest is by having your players and prospects and things like that around, right? So it's a trickle-down effect. And the stronger, you know, and then the stronger the other teams get, the stronger you have to get in order to stay competitive, right? Because you don't want to miss the playoffs and struggle. And, you know, the days of the past when, you know, you missed the playoffs 6 of 7 years and keep your job are over now. You know, it's a lot more competitive in the AHL, and that's good for the organizations. And Joel Bouchard has to start winning too. I mean, you know, we talk a lot about how he's says the right things, and he's developing, you know, prospects and hopefully getting to the NHL. But at a certain point, you have to start winning. And it's not going to be easy because everyone around them is is talented as well. This week will be interesting, and obviously we're going to have the debut of Keith Kincaid. Claude Julien said Monday at practice that the same goalie won't play all three games. He wasn't giving any more clues than that as to who's going to be playing which games. He wouldn't even confirm who's going to play on Wednesday.
We have to assume that Carey Price is going to be there for the home
opener. I would think so. It's tough because, you know, we mentioned off the top, you know, Buffalo is the better team of the two. But, you know, you could say that you want Kincaid when the team is fresher in the first half of the back-to-back, and then you have Price for the home opener. Mm-hmm. I think Price is going to start on Saturday against St. Louis on Saturday night at home. I think that's pretty much guaranteed to be Carey Price. Yeah. So it comes down to whether Kincaid plays in Buffalo or at home against Detroit. I tend to agree. I think they'll give Price the home opener, or at least give him the choice of what he wants to do.
Yeah, and I would assume he skates out with a torch anyway, and with all the Olympic ceremony that we're gonna have in Montreal for the first game of the season. So he's gonna be there. It's not like, but I also think that people have paid to see Price, and you want to give them what they want, at least in the first game.
Yeah, I think they'll be happy with a win, even if Carey Price doesn't play. I think you can't go into every game thinking like that. But yeah, for the home opener, I tend to agree, and you could argue that, you know, Carey Price against with a more tired team in front of him would be better off than having Keith Kincaid in that situation. But you know. I agree. I think we'll probably see Kincaid Wednesday, Price on Thursday, and Price on Saturday. But you have to see what you have in Keith Kincaid as well, right? You want to know if you can put him against teams like Buffalo, because down the road, there's going to be games where it's going to be a little bit harder than you think.
And Buffalo is trending upwards. Yeah. They are not supposedly there just yet, but they will be in a very near future.
I think Buffalo is going to be close to Montreal. I think I like Buffalo better than I like Florida, to be completely honest, in terms of the playoff, you know, the Atlantic divisions, the order. But
yeah, but also Buffalo hasn't had the change of personnel as Florida has. They have a new group to build up from. But if they gel fast, Florida will be better. But if they don't gel very fast, they might bottom out instead.
I feel like every year people are like, Buffalo is going to be better this year. Buffalo is going to be better this year. Buffalo is going to finally make the playoffs. And they never do.
I burned myself last year.
Everyone, it's only last year. It's like the last like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but it was like Dalene and maybe Pilot and obviously Olofsson. I thought Pilot and Olofsson would get some players in or games in. And then you had the big trade with Ryan O'Reilly. They got some players back. And yeah. I thought that would be better. We'll see. We'll see. It's Buffalo. It's blue and yellow, and it's hard to cheer against them.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, that's why they keep going get Swedes, because they're already used to the colors. They don't have to adjust as much. thank you, Patrick, for joining us. Thank you for listening. And like I said, Wednesday against the Sabres, Thursday at home against the Red Wings, the home opener, and then Saturday against the St. Louis Blues at home as well. That should be a fun one. Montreal had a couple of good games against St. Louis last year. I think that they played them both times when they were struggling at the beginning of their season. But you wouldn't think that they would win the Stanley Cup, but they did. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Patrick, for joining me. And enjoy the hockey. It's back. Hopefully we keep getting some wins to talk about here in Habs Unlimited.